makes you feel like you're invincible and you're going to live forever, because you come down here and this is like, it's just like it was before.
You're listening to I Heart Flint, where we bring you a close-up view of Flint's heart. In this episode, we bring you an old hot rodder from Flint who connects with his past at Flint's classic car show, Back to the Bricks. Flint and Detroit and many other cities in the Rust Belt have pretty complicated histories with the car industry. But even so, those cars are celebrated every year at classic car shows across the country. You've probably heard of Detroit's famous one called the Woodward Dream Cruise, where over 1.5 million people come out to look at 40,000 classic cars. But did you know that same week, Flint has its own classic car show? It's called Back to the Bricks, and while it's not as big as the Woodward Dream Cruise, we still bring out a respectable 500,000 people to look at over 25,000 classic cars. So it's called Back to the Bricks because our main street downtown, which is where the heart of the festival is held, is still paved with the same red bricks that were laid over 100 years ago. It's pretty cool. So the party starts on a Wednesday, and for 3 days, crowds line the main street for miles for what they call the rolling cruise, where classic cars of all makes, models, years cruise the same stretch of road that they did for fun on Friday nights back in the 60s. Then on Saturday, cars fill the streets and parking lots throughout downtown Flint for a full day of live music, engines revving, and drooling over the shiny cars. But I don't want to tell just another story about a cool festival with fun cars to look at. What I really want to know is, you know, what about the older generations? What about the people who were actually part of Flint when all those classic cars weren't classics? When Flint was still a booming car town? Well, lucky for me, I know one of those old Flint veterans. He's my dad. So on the Saturday when all of the cars were parked downtown, my dad and I went to the car show. What is it like for you to come down and see these cars now?
Oh, this is really exciting. This is why there's so many crowds down here.
So my dad grew up in the south side of the city, in one of those neighborhoods that sprang up to house all of the GM factory workers. You know, the kind where all the houses look the same, they have siding, not brick. They're like little cookie cutter houses all in a row. My dad is a true baby boomer. He and my uncle were born shortly after my grandpa returned from World War II in the mid-1940s. So both of my dad's parents, my grandparents, worked for GM. My grandma was Rosie the Riveter, having gone to work during the war. But when the men came home, she actually just kept working. So my dad learned to be pretty independent at a young age. So tell me that story you were telling me about getting on the bus when you were little.
Oh, yeah. So I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old. And my mother had an appointment. I think she got her hair done once a week. And so this would be like on a weekend. I would get on the bus by myself at 7 o'clock. We were in like south end of Flint. So around close to noontime, I'd get on the bus. I was 7 or 8 years old, and I'd take the bus downtown to Smith Bridgman's, and all I'd do to get on the DuPont bus, that's the one that came downtown. And so then I would order the same thing every time. I'd get an open-faced hot turkey sandwich. And about the time I would finish eating, my mother would show up. So it was kind of nice that you didn't have to, from my parents' standpoint, they didn't have to worry about where I was. 2 or 3 years later, my brother and I and my cousins, we'd all meet at my grandmother's house over off Fenton Road by the viaduct, and we get on our bicycles and be gone for 3 or 4 hours. We drive downtown and around the neighborhoods. Nobody was looking for us, and we'd come back in time for dinner. So that was, there just wasn't the crime and the social issues that are going on today.
But cars became an even bigger part of my dad's life when he got older. In high school in the early 60s, my dad was your stereotypical greaser. Drag racing, skipping school to work on cars, souping up hot rods to make them faster in the street races, cruising at night with his friends.
Yeah. So, you know, in high school, when I started high school, I was 63. And that was right about the beginning. The early 60s was the beginning of the car craze. That's when all the cool cars were out, the hot rods, all the ones that you see downtown when we're back to the bricks. A lot of these go back into the middle 50s. When I was in high school, that's what we could afford, 10-year-old cars. They didn't look the best. It was all more about the engines, and any money that we had, we would put into making the cars sound like a hot rod, drive like a hot rod, and it wasn't really so much about fast speed, it was how quickly you could get there. So it was, we'd modify the engines to get more horsepower, we'd have a floor shifter, and it was just a fun time. We'd go out, when we cruised then, we cruised down Saginaw Street, and that's why this all came back, and calling it the cruise. We would cruise Saginaw Street, and there were two or three restaurants at each end of town that we would go drive through, and then you drive down Saginaw Street to the next one. So this is all, this whole back to the brick thing is all a throwback to those days when it was fun just to drive these hot rods around town. And then, of course, there was always some of the things that we were drag racing. That wasn't probably the best part of it, but we had a lot of fun with that.
What streets were you drag racing on?
Well, we'd go down like Broadway. That was always a good street. It was a good straight run, and it was a boulevard, and there was enough room that you could kind of get a little short drag race in without being too risky for having accidents. And so it was kind of the thing. Saturday night, Friday night, we'd go downtown, and you'd always find somebody that had a hot rod, and they'd pretty soon, it's just kind of, you knew they wanted the race. So we'd head down towards Broadway and Mackin.
So he told me the story about one race in particular that he was determined to win.
Go through the gears. So the one particular day, I went to, I saw this guy at one of the restaurants, and we got talking. He said, okay, we're going to go to Broadway and race our cars. And I had just finished putting together, it was a 55 Chevy. I'd taken the engine out. We bored it out so it had bigger pistons, a high lift cam. It was a good hot rod, and so we went down and drag race, and this guy, it wasn't too much like he blew my doors off, but he definitely beat me in this drag race. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tune this car up, and I'll meet you back here next Saturday. So he says, all right. And so during the week, I skipped school to make my car faster. Well, the way we did this is a friend of mine had an engine. He was in between cars, but he had an engine that was bigger than mine, and it was had half again as much horsepower. It was a big 357 dual carbs. And so we skipped school one day. My parents were at work, and we went over to my garage and took my engine out. And this only took us from about 10 o'clock in the morning until about 2 in the afternoon. We pulled my engine out, put his engine in, got it running.
So the problem was the frame of the car was not built for such a strong engine. So all week, things kept going wrong.
Interesting about that. So we put the bigger engine in, so I'm out banging gears, and the first thing I did is I tore the clutch up because the clutch wasn't heavy duty enough for the bigger engine. So I put a new heavy duty clutch in, and so the next time out on the street, a couple days later, I tear the transmission up. So I put a bigger four-speed transmission in that was heavier duty, and about an hour into our banging gears, I tore the U-joints up in the rear end of the car. So basically, I had to go through and rebuild the whole drivetrain. And of course, you know, the tires didn't last long because we're burning rubber off those.
Okay, so they fix all those problems, and the next weekend comes, and it's time for the rematch.
You know, after I got all the bugs out of the drivetrain, went back down on Broadway and met this same guy, same car, and he had no idea that we had completely changed the drivetrain engine, and so I just blew the doors off him. And you know, it wasn't that big a deal. It was just, hey, okay, we won that race. Oh, it was fun. It's like, wow, it was, you know, I never thought about all the work that we went through. The whole focus was on, we're gonna win this race. And back then it wasn't that big a deal.
So now, 50 years later, here we are walking the same street, looking at the same cars.
It's just exciting because this is all from an era that I remember from high school, and actually even before high school. My friend and I used to sit on the front porch and watch all the cars go by. This would have been probably starting around the late 50s. And as we watched those cars go by, and we'd memorize what every car was. And if I didn't know one, my friend would. And that was the whole thing. We'd just sit on the porch and watch all those cars go by. But we come down here, and we're looking at those same cars. And they're all, most of these cars down here are restored. They look like they came from that era. And it's just a flashback in time when that was the part of my youth that I enjoyed the most.
So it brings back, like, good memories? Is it, like, nostalgic? Is it sad at all?
No, it's not sad. It makes you feel like you're invincible and you're going to live forever, because you come down here and this is like, it's just like it was before, and it's like going back in time, and it's just a lot of fun. The sound of those cars, the engines revving, and everybody just having a good time. It just brings back all those memories. But it's enjoyable today. It's just the same things that made it fun then is what makes it fun now.
So my dad's been able to pass along a little of his greaser knowledge to me. We have a 1962 Chevy pickup that we've been fixing up on and off now for about 10 years. We replaced the head gasket together, which for those non-greasers listening, basically means we took apart the whole engine and put it back together again. And every year that we go to the car show, I think about that Chevy sitting in the warehouse waiting to come back to the bricks. And I'm really excited because my dad said that next year, it will finally be ready.
Tell me your vision for next year with the Chevy.
Oh yeah, so our project vehicle now is the 62 Chevy pickup. It's all stock, the straight six, three on a tree. And then we have a 1958 Cruisers Incorporated 15-foot speedboat. So I think it'd be really, really fun to have that in the and do the cruise with it next year. It's getting more popular where people are cruising with a vehicle in tow. There's a lot of nostalgic classic campers that are being parked downtown, or they're being towed by a vehicle. We'll have the American flag on the back, a little the flagpole on the back, and on the front there was always that year it was a little triangle shaped flag with a martini glass on it, and so it'll just be the whole package together with the truck and the boat. We'll find some way, maybe we'll find a mannequin with a bikini or something to say.
A mannequin?
Yeah, well, or maybe Stacy can get one of her friends and they'll put on some bathing suits and look like they're headed to the beach or they're at the beach. And
cool. Then I like the 1950s and 60s style bathing suits too. That'd be fun to do.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll so that's our plan. We'll have that ready to go. And
So here's the thing I think is so great about this annual festival. We have hundreds of thousands of people coming through of all ages, cultures, and backgrounds. We have people like my dad who, strolling through or sitting next to their own classic car, connect the cars around them with actual memories from their youth. But then there are people like me who only have those stories to connect us with that past. And then there are all these kids around who are another generation removed. We are all in the same place, but sharing this history in very different ways. But in another way is keeping that history alive, passing it down, connecting us with our roots, however fraught they might be. Thank you.